Ezekiel 13, intend to finish the chapter, and I don't intend to take as long on the rest of the book. The chapter is about the prophecy against the prophets, and there's great significance in all of Scripture. And as we've slowed down here in this chapter, hopefully you've seen already some of the significance, some of the ways it parallels even our day today, because man hasn't changed and God hasn't changed. And so these things are applicable even today. There are still false teachers, just like there were back then, as there are today. And so it can almost seem so redundant almost as we go through it. It's like we've heard this already. But the Lord, I'm not able to skillfully bring everything out as the Lord has given it to us. But as we look at it, the thought is here, there are false teachers out there. Their message is a lie, yet they speak saying, I'm telling you the truth. They might even say, I'm telling you what God says. You have a wide spectrum. You have people that say, well, I'm right. But then you have even people who say, well, I speak for the Lord, and you can kind of tell, okay, they're different than us. And then you have others who might be a little closer to us saying, I speak for the Lord. It doesn't really matter who it is. It could be someone behind the pulpit here, people in churches that are very similar to ours. It could be even ourselves. We could be like these false prophets. It doesn't take devious motives necessarily. All it takes is you speak a lie. Speak something that's not true. You represent God falsely, and you're lying. You could say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So many different ways in which we can resemble that. So it's a warning for us to be careful of those we read and see and watch and hear preaching from. So it's a warning in that regard, but also a warning for ourselves that we don't be like them either. You say, well, I'm a Christian, so I can't tell a lie, right? I can't not speak the truth. Of course we can, and we know that intuitively, but we need to make sure that we're not the arbiters of truth. You know, we could be wrong. We need to make sure we accurately represent the Lord. So, chapter 13, two main sections. One is, as he says in verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. That's the first section, and we looked at that a few weeks ago. And he described them, and what they were like, and how they lied. They saw vanity, and lying divinations. They said, the Lord says, and the Lord didn't say. And the Lord didn't send them. And then he gave a response. This is what I have to say to these prophets. And they would not have a portion in Israel. There were three different things that he mentions. I think it was in chapter or in verse 10. And he gives that illustration, too, in the second part about the wall and how the people are like this wall. And they are the ones that daubed it with untempered mortar, with mortar that would fail under stress. And the stress would come, the wind, the storm, and the mortar would be gone, the wall would fall, the people would be destroyed, and they, the prophets, would be destroyed as well. Because they were basing what they believed on what these prophets said, which was a lie. The second part begins in chapters verse 16, verse 17, where he says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And the big problem with both of these prophets, the prophets, as he says in verse 2, but also the daughters of thy people which prophesy, the problem is the source of their prophecy is out of their own heart. And so we've got to be so careful for ourselves. We don't really know what's in other people's hearts. We can't tell if they're speaking out of their heart or if they're speaking the word of God unless we know the word of God. We have to know the truth. Then we can compare it and say, oh, that's wrong. But for ourselves, we need to be careful that we don't speak out of our own heart. Say, well, this is what I think should be, and this is the way I think it is, without knowing for sure that it's based on the principles of God's Word and who He is. So He described them, and last week we looked at that in verses 17 and 18. Very difficult passage. You know it's difficult when you don't understand it. But then when you start reading those who write lexicons and know languages a lot better than you do, and they say, this is a difficult passage, you know it's difficult. It really is, because it is for many people. And many have said that about what we were looking at last week and this week. And you'll see here, verse 18 says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. And we looked a little bit at that, and I talked a little bit about the words and the translation of the words. The only place that this particular word is used is here, and it's only used twice. And some people say, well, it's based off of this. It seems like they go to the Septuagint, and I remember I told you the Septuagint is... it's the Greek version of the Old Testament. It's not inspired. It was written probably 100 or 200 years B.C., before Christ came to the earth. So it seems like they've translated based off of what the Septuagint has said. But it's probably related to another word, and which has the idea of something that's covered or something... the resultant meaning was be something that binds something. It covers it, it binds it together. And so the idea here is, let's see, verse 18. Thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sow, and I don't actually, let me see if I have it in my notes. Here it is. It says, they sow bands, or something that binds. They sow, and they sow it here. It says, it talks about the armholes. And the armholes has, it's like your armpits, but that's kind of a specific translation for the word. It generally just means joints, okay? And so the joints, and then there, it says, the joints upon the hands of me, my hands. And so understanding the text, I would express it this way. Woe to the women, the one sewing bands upon the entirety of the joints of my hands, which is, it's a difficult thing, and it's hard for me to express that. So I want to be very careful as I say this. Studied it for many hours, and you try and understand it. But my understanding, this seems to be the way the words express this, a literal translation, the one sewing bands upon the entirety of the joints of the hands of me. And so they were... if that is the case, it's the idea of where they're sewing his hands together there so that it restricts him. It limits him. Who is the him? Well, it's the Lord talking, so it'd be they're limiting the Lord. And also they make these, it says kerchiefs or you could say veils, upon the head of every stature. And the idea there seems to be that they put these on and it's, you know, it's made for each person. Some people have bigger faces, smaller faces, so they make it for every stature there. Okay. So basically what we take away from this is it was as if they limited God, they bound God, and they also blinded the people. They put a veil over the people's face. And we talked a little bit about that. How can you bind God? Fact is, you can't. And we'll see that a little bit more when we get into these verses. You can't limit God, but you can put that into people's minds. You can limit God in people's minds so that people think of Him as a limited God. In fact, we probably all do. I mean, we're finite. So we think, well, God can do this, but you know, we just don't think He would do this. Maybe we wouldn't actually say that, but we don't comprehend His ability. But these people, it seems like that's what they were doing. And he says here in verse 19, "And will ye pollute me among my people?" So they were polluting the Lord, polluting him among his people. For handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread. Barley and pieces of bread doesn't sound like you're getting a whole lot. But they were doing it, it seems, for this living that they were getting. Barley's not a top grade of bread. It's my understanding. It's something you might feed to your animal. But again, a siege was about to happen. Maybe it's looking a little bit ahead because that would happen just a few years down the road. And what they were doing here, he says, to slay souls that should not die and to save the souls that alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. So God's people, they were, here it says, causing them to die. And those that were worthy of death, they were saving alive. And we begin our answer in verse 20 here, where he says, "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God." So he's going to give the answer. The wherefore literally would be to thus, and then he says, "Thus or in this manner said my Lord Yahweh, the Lord God." He says, "Behold, I am against your pillows wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." So, let me get to the right page here. Here it is. So, to thus, he's answering them here. This is the answer. It's the same structure, very similar structure as he did with the prophets before in the other verses. He gave the description, and he gave an answer. And he gave another answer. We looked at the description here of these daughters of the people. We looked at that description. He's going to give an answer. He's going to give another answer. This is a much shorter, condensed one than the other, but it's the same structure. And so here's the answer. "To thus, in this manner, said my Lord Yahweh." And then he says, "Behold me," literally. He's got that pronoun at the end of it. "Behold me toward your pillows," it's translated. Or as we looked at, the bands. And so you have the idea of being toward. "Behold me toward your bands." If somebody is looking, especially if you've done something wrong, right? And then he directs his attention to you, that right there kind of expresses, "Ooh, I'm in trouble," right? That's the idea here. His face is towards them. It's against them, you might think. And so he's directing his attention toward them, or towards the bands specifically. The bands, literally, which you are ensnaring. They're ensnaring with these bands. And we looked a little bit at that last time, how they were ensnaring. They were ensnaring God's people with the lies, and they were putting a veil over their face and binding the Lord's hands. And taking all of this into account here, taking the understand that these words, the Lord has set himself against their bands, these who ensnare. And these have, it seems, limited God, sewn bands on all the joints of his hands. In what way? In what way did they do that? Perhaps now, because these people, these women had been speaking these lies, the people had a constricted view of the Lord. Maybe now people had lost hope in the truth through the lies of the daughters of Israel. Like I said, it's a difficult passage. So I'm trying to, perhaps this is in the way here. They lost hope in the Lord. Was God limited by their prophecies? No, in no way. Is God limited because people are speaking lies? No. Is God limited in a communist country where you're not allowed to say the truth? Is God limited by that? He's not limited by anything that man does or says in any way. God's abilities have never changed. But could the perception of God affect us, though he hasn't changed? Of course it could. Of course it could. The truth continues to be challenged, doesn't it? It does, all the time. But they're not trying to change the truth. You can't change the truth. What are they trying to do? They're trying to change the mind as to what is true. That's where the role is. Let's get you to believe something that's not true. You can't hurt the truth. The truth is in no danger at all. The ones in danger are those departing from the truth. That's when you're in the danger. And I'm just reminded, the Lord says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People don't know the truth. And so we've got to know it. And then we've got to share it. We've got to tell other people so they can know the truth as well. So that was the first part here of the answer. These ones who are ensnaring, he says, well, that's not even actually the answer yet. That's just the introduction. These are the ones who ensnare. And he says he is against their bands. And then in verse 20, he gives the response here. He says, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. So he says, then I will tear them from your arms, from upon your arms. So the Lord would deliver his people from their snare, from the bands, and he would tear his people from them, as we'll see. And the word hunt here, or ensnare them, you'll see he kind of has the picture here of like a bird being ensnared and trapped, because he uses that word to fly here. He says, then I will send, the idea to set free, the souls which you hunt, which you ensnare. The souls to fly, to escape. They're going to fly. They're going to be able to get away. And so he would set his people free from their lies, is what he said. And then he says in verse 21, your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I will tear your kerchiefs, or the veils, I believe, that which blinded the people. The Lord would tear that away. It's interesting to think about. He's making a distinction here between God's people and those who aren't God's people. And how these prophets are helping, they're causing to live those who are not God's people. And God's people, they're causing to, I believe, to blind and all of these things. They're causing great distress and grief to God's people. And God says that what he's going to do is he's going to remove all of that. He's going to remove all of that. There's something different about these people here in Ezekiel 13 and those mentioned in other places, like the Gospels, for instance. You remember how the Lord gives those parables. And he spoke in parables. He says that seeing, they would not see, and hearing, they would not hear. The truth was hidden from them, from those people, the Lord said. And why? Why was it hidden from them? Because they had no real appetite for it. They had no real appetite for it, and so the Lord hid that truth from them. They could have had the truth, but they didn't have an appetite for it. But those of God's people who truly desire the truth, and maybe they've been led astray. Hey, are there people like that who, you know, they want to follow the Lord, but you kind of get caught up in a movement or something, or you get caught up in something else, and then you realize later that you'd been led astray, but the Lord, it's amazing. It's amazing. Those who really want to know the truth, who seek the Lord with their whole heart, wow, maybe you've experienced in your life, I've experienced it in my life, how I wanted to know the truth about this thing, this issue. And it's amazing how the Lord just gives you the answer. It may be over years or something, but He leads you out of that. He leads you into truth. And I believe that's kind of what happens with these people. He's going to lead them into truth. He's going to remove these liars. He's going to remove the veil because they're His people. And they, I believe, truly want to know the truth. Those of God's people who truly desire the truth and maybe they've been led astray, God will deliver them from the lies. And I've seen it. Those who have very little appetite for the truth, you know, they just, this is what I believe. And this is, you know, this is the doctrine. You know, this is what I grew up with. You know, this is the doctrine of our church. You know, we're Baptist or whatever it is. People that just kind of hold on to, well, this is the systematic theology and this is the way it's going to be. But they're really not seeking the Lord. They kind of feel like they've got it already. Hey, I've got it all down. It's right here. You should read this book. Read this book. And it explains all the doctrines in it. People that feel like they have it down, they just kind of continue on in that way, even if it's wrong. But if you have a desire for the truth, the Lord can change all of that. We need to constantly be changing, conforming to the Lord. Those that seek the Lord will find Him. So you have these people here, and look at verse 21, yes. The kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So, he says, I will deliver my people out of your hand, literally to strip them, cause to strip my people from your hand. And they will not exist yet in your hand to a prey. They won't be the prey anymore. And then he ends it with that very familiar phrase, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I am He. I am the existing one. You will know. I'm going to have to look that up again, how many times that's in here. So many times. Everyone is going to know He's the Lord. And oh, that they would today. Don't wait till the consequences come. But everyone will know. Every knee will bow. He gives the answer, the second answer, in verses 22. Because, so he sets it up just like he did in verse 20. He sets it up. This is what I'm answering to. And because, or answering, with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. That's what he's answering. With lies, they have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. They have caused brokenness of heart of a righteous one with a lie. And he caused not the sore. He caused not the sorrow of the heart. And it says here, and they strengthening of hands of a wicked one. He says of a wicked one that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Promising him life, or just a wicked one to his living. Literally. So you have a contrast here. You see the results of their work, what they do in their prophesying. The righteous are broken in heart, and the wicked are strengthened. They don't turn from their way. They're strengthened in their lives, their way of living. And when you see these results, where ungodly people are encouraged to go in their way, and when God's people are discouraged, obviously, there's a problem. It goes without saying. Yet it might not be as clear as you might think. You know, it's always so devious when people coming in here, but it seems like, oh yeah, we're just all about people getting saved. That could be the words that they use. And yet it could end up being where you get people in, and so yeah, we all praise the Lord, but yet they don't change. Their lives keep going the same way, doing things that God has expressly said that is wrong, and yet they just keep going on their way. And that yet somebody that's trying to serve the Lord, they're called a, oh, you're a legalist, or you're just too strict. They're doing the very same thing that he's saying here. They're discouraging the righteous one, and they're causing those who are wicked to keep going in their way. It's against the Lord. They're like these prophets, these liars. And it's everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere. And so, they might say that they're leading people in the truth and toward God, but what are the results? They might say they're for the Lord, but do they oppose believers who are seeking the Lord? And I've known people who do that. They discourage those who are seeking the Lord. Maybe they say, you're too strict, like we've already talked about. You've heard that before. And you know, there's a difference between, you know, we're just keeping a bunch of rules and truly seeking the Lord. But sometimes people don't like it. They say, well, you're too proud. You're so proud. You think you're better than everybody else, or you're a legalist, or you're strict. They have all these things that they might say, even to believers who are trying to do right. And it's the case. They're discouraging those who are trying to do right. And he gives the answer here. So that was the description. The answer is in verse 23. He says, therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So to thus, vanity you will not see, and divination you will not divine still. God was going to put an end to their ministry. Let me put it that way. You know, there are a lot of people that have ministries that are against God. Wow. I pray that we would not be like these. We wouldn't have that kind of ministry that's against the Lord. Because we can, in the name of God, be against God. So many people like that. They're going about in the name of the Lord, and yet they're saying and doing things that are opposed to God. Many are right now. And it's not the confession that I'm telling you the truth, or that they stand behind a pulpit, or they wrote a Christian book that makes them accurate, right? There's no substitute for walking with the Lord and for seeking Him and for the truth that's in Christ Jesus. No substitute for your personal walk with the Lord. Reading a book, you know, you have to walk with the Lord. And then he says this, he uses that same terminology. He says here, I will deliver my people, or strip them from your hands. I will cause to strip my people from your hand. And he ends with that phrase, then you will know because I exist, Yahweh. You will know that I am the Lord. I think this has been the case, and I pray that it wouldn't be the case for any of us. We don't want to enter heaven knowing that we were lying to people, right? Leading people astray because we got this doctrine in our mind and, you know, we've got to know the truth. We've got to speak the truth. Saying that which is not true, regardless of the motive. Really, the motive doesn't really matter whether you meant to or not. If it's true, it's true. If it's not true, it's not true. It makes responsibility. You know, you teach a class, you're a preacher, you're a parent, you're instructing anybody. Isn't the responsibility great? It is. As Christians, we witness to others. The responsibility is great. We've got to get it right. So we need the Lord's help. And so it should cause us a little fear, a little fear that we'd make sure we get it right. Seeking the Lord. Lord, I want to have it right. So I want to be careful as I speak, especially in a passage like this. It's difficult, and I don't know that I have all the answers. But I do believe these prophets were against the Lord, speaking in the name of the Lord, leading people astray, promoting wickedness, and discouraging those who knew the Lord. And the Lord was going to stop it. You know, the Lord's going to stop it here too as well. We were reading just down in the nursing home, Psalm chapter 9. It talks about the wicked one. He's destroyed cities. Their memorial has perished with them. Nobody remembers them, right? And the cities are destroyed, and it's a big shame. But the Lord, he exists forever, And he has established his throne for judgment. No one's going to get away. And he'll be a refuge for the oppressed. You see, we kind of just, we say, well, it has to happen in this lifetime. God's not limited by the lifetime here. He's going to make everything right in his time and according to his will. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word together. I pray you'd encourage your people. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to have sharp minds and hearts, that we would we'd be able to see the errors that are out there and see those who, it's hard because it sounds like, well, we want to say they sound good or they have good heart and they want to do the right thing. Lord, help us to be wise as serpents, Lord, to see what's of you and what's not of you. I pray that you'd help us to be careful as well as we speak, to speak what you've said. Please bless tonight as we pray together. Please encourage your people and bring to our minds what we need to be praying for. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.